You are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Hump Day Edition, the Happier Happy Hour. If you're listening to me in Wisconsin, be advised, you're probably under a tornado watch. The weather could be troubling this afternoon, so we'll keep an eye on it. We'll inform you if it's coming your way. Dom, coming your way tomorrow morning, live J6 coverage, starting at 9 a.m. right here on Devil Radio and the Shaw. We're going to play it for the people live. And Dom, tomorrow is all about Mike Pence, the pressure campaign to get the VP to, you know what, just throw out his constitutional oath. And here's something you got to remember. He was considerate. He was thinking about it. And who told him no? Dan, I can't spell potato quail, right? Dan Quayle was the guardrail.
Well, I think he had his own attorneys as well telling him no. I mean,
to go see Dan Quayle and ask the question again? If he was satisfied with his own legal counsel.
I'm not
saying
he was satisfied, but I'm saying there were more than, I mean, it wasn't just Dan Quayle. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Anyone who listens to Dan Quayle for anything only, I'd question their judgment as well.
You say potato, Dan Quayle says potato.
But certainly he had advisors and attorneys around him. And listen, at the, you know, ultimately, if you think there's a problem, you know, you do have the right. You know, Trump and his allies went to court 62 times. If you're concerned about something, if you hear something fishy, and you
see something, say something.
Say something, exactly. Yes, of course, pursue all your legal means. But at the end of the day, when it comes out that, no, there was not fraud, no, you can't do that, Mike Pence, and then you go ahead and do it anyway, you know, at some point that becomes a crime.
Yes, I think
just
so.
Saying, man, you know?
Rubin's newest, this just published over at the Washington Post. Even the good lawyers didn't blow the whistle on Trump. As she puts it, that was wrong. That's wrong.
You think?
Let me read a little bit from the Rubin column. Some attorneys in the Trump administration and serving as lawmakers in Congress enabled egregious and perhaps criminal conduct after the 2020 election. Perhaps others prevented former President Donald Trump from acting even worse than he did, or at least refused to assist him. But none of them alerted the FBI, the public, or congressional leadership. That's a serious failing.
That's a nice way to put it, Ruben.
It's like me, first time I took stats in college. It was a serious failing. Some lawyers' conduct was reprehensible. Testimony collected by the House January 6th committee showed that Trump's perhaps drunken attorney, Rudy Giuliani, who lost his law license for filing utterly frivolous cases, promoted a coup over other advisors' objections. News reports disclosed that the former Assistant Attorney General Jeffrey Clark had prepared a draft letter to state officials making a false claim of widespread fraud in soliciting alternative slates of electors. And worst of all, right-wing attorney John Eastman cooked up an infamous plot to stop the electoral vote count and deny the legitimate winner, Joe Biden, the ability to take office. Many House members who are lawyers similarly signed on to an amicus brief in a frivolous case. You remember in Texas, Dom, initiated by lawyer and Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton. Well, he's under indictment himself on federal charges, is he not? To challenge the results of certain states that President Biden won. in the Senate. And I'm glad she brings these guys up. In the Senate, Republicans with Ivy League law degrees, such as Senator Ted Cruz and Josh Hawley, spread the big lie and made groundless objections to prevent the orderly counting of the electoral votes. These actions exploited the Trump's base delusion and put democracy at risk. And all of this conduct is unacceptable for anyone who's taken an oath of office, let alone a lawyer who has obligations as an officer of the court. Claims to sanction some of these characters have been filed. Clark and Giuliani, for example, could have criminal liability. The crime fraud exception does not allow them to hide behind attorney-client privilege. If the facts are sufficient to prove they committed conspiracy to defraud the United States or conspiracy to disrupt an official proceeding of Congress. And Dom, other lawyers perform much better. Former attorney, much better. Come on. Bill Barr, much better?
Hey, it doesn't take, when it's that
it's
bad,
a low bar.
To be much better doesn't take much.
Well, it'd have to be, it's a low Bill Barr. Other lawyers perform much better. Rubin's assessment, not mine. Former Attorney General William Barr testified he repeatedly told Trump that no systematic fraud occurred. Acting Attorney General Jeffrey Rosen and his deputies, Richard Donahue and Steve Engel, all threatened to resign if Clark were elevated to Attorney General. Pat Cipollone, White House counsel, denounced Clark's stunt. Meanwhile, Bijan J. B.J. Pack, the former U.S. attorney in the Northern District of Georgia, diligently investigated fraud claims and quit rather than take part in the pressure campaign to find votes. You know, like 11,780 of them, right, Tom? To overturn the election. Their actions helped defuse a constitutional crisis. You got this, Tom?
I do. However, Jennifer Rubin from the Washington Post writes, when Barr quit, he wrote a glowing letter about the man he later testified may have become detached from reality. He publicly supported the effort to discredit mail-in balloting, and none of the lawyers in the administration, Barr, Rosen, Donahue, Engel, Cipollone, or Pack, went to the FBI, the media, or Congress to warn the country. We should find out why and then revise legal ethics rules accordingly. Did they think that everything was under control? Certainly they knew Trump had not yet conceded and had planned the Stop the Steal rally on January 6th. That seems the weakest excuse. Did they feel bound by the attorney-client privilege or beholden to Trump because they served in his administration? Sorry, but the client of government lawyers is the American people, not an individual president. Did they think that they could preserve their careers? Perhaps they calculated that by staying quiet meant they did not have to face the wrath of the GOP and the MAGA crowd or end their careers in GOP circles. If they thought quitting was sufficient, they were grotesquely wrong. With regard to Rosen, he had a legitimate concern that executive privilege prevented him from revealing the contents of Oval Office meetings. His conclusion that the plot had been nipped in the bud, while sincere, proved horribly naive. The oath that government officials take obligates them to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. In refusing to publicly short-circuit the coup attempt, they failed to fulfill that most elementary duty. State bars, and certainly the Justice Department, must clarify lawyers' ethical obligations. After exhausting all internal channels, they must alert law enforcement or the public to any plot to overthrow our democracy.
I like that plan.
If you're gonna really, you got to say it.
To overthrow the government, you got to say something. Let's make that a rule.
I mean, isn't that the assumed? I mean, they took the oath. She concludes, Jennifer Rubin does, apparently that now has to be spelled out with the threat of professional punishment if they fail to do so. None of these people cover themselves in glory. No, absolutely not. And when you say, I mean, like Barr, you say one thing, and you go out and talk about these mail-in ballots, and then you get, you know, get subpoenaed and testify under oath and say an entirely whole different set of things. I mean, there is an opportunity, ample opportunity, and on multiple levels by lots and lots of people to avoid this. But, you know, when you're in a cult, I guess it makes it a little hard to go against the grain.
Aren't you quite judgmental, Mr. Salvia?
Sure.
I guarantee that you've made plenty of pledges by the dashboard light in your day, if you will, that you may not have upheld, let's
I have never.
I swear I'll I'll love you in the morning.
I have never taken an oath to defend the Constitution of the United States against all enemies, foreign and domestic. I've never done that. And I would be more able and apt and willing to do that than some of these people who actually took the oath.
844-967-2789. CJ, you were in the military, were you not, sir?
No, my own platoon would have said we don't know what happened to him.
Yeah, they would have fragged your ass. I could see that.
But
so you took no oath to uphold the Constitution. You've never taken an oath of that sort.
Doing my part now.
What's that?
I'm doing my part now.
Oh, is that what you're doing, CJ? This is your patriotic step to call in our radio shows and talk trash and cash shade and talk about Joe Biden's inflation and the such. That's your patriotic duty, CJ?
I talk facts, and I'm glad Jimmy Carter lived long enough to not be the worst president anymore, ever. Because
Trump, didn't he? Wow, did Trump ever.
Yeah, wow.
I'm glad human beings.
That's amazing you said that, CJ. I'm glad we recognize that fact.
CJ, if you believe in heaven and hell, Jimmy Carter is perhaps the greatest human being we've ever had as president. I mean, just truly a humanitarian. And no one's ever called Donald Trump that in sincerity in his entire life.
Jimmy Carter is Christ-like. Yes, he is. He's a carpenter now.
And Trump more Judas-like.
Well, happy birthday, guys. And we won't talk about the other record that this president got.
Well, good. Then we'll move on. Thanks for calling, CJ.
Yeah, thank you for the birthday wishes, CJ. We do appreciate it.
You know, Trump would have also been one of the money changers in the temple. He'd have been pounding the nails in the cross.
Oh, he wouldn't have been pounding the nails. He'd have hit his thumb. He's not that kind of guy. He'd have someone else pound the nails and then not pay him.
Okay, it would have been Eric. Come back with us. You're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. I can't believe we're in the happy hour. Dom, you know, I want to talk about college days for Becky Clayfish and perhaps ourselves. We were college roommates.
We were.
Going up to our stomping grounds next week. I'm going to broadcast from the third CD from La Crosse. But I want to talk about her run-in. You know, literal. Run, Becky, run. With law enforcement. More devils.
What has happened to us? What has happened to us?
What have they got that I ain't got? Courage.
You could say that again.
Hi, it's Rudy Giuliani, and I'm on Cameo.